Philippians 4 and 6. The Bible says, do not be anxious or worried about anything. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. Say specific. Specific requests. Friends, one of the keys of prayer is about being specific about our need. I say one of the very, very important keys of prayer is about being specific about our need. We need to tackle and present to the Lord in prayer exactly what the issue is. Remember, we are dealing with God who is an intelligent being. God who made you and I. All right? So imagine if you and I have got intelligence, how much more intelligent God is. In fact, he is not even intelligent, he is intelligence itself. All right? Now, when we present our issues in prayer to the Lord, we need to be specific about that which we present to him, about that which is a bother unto us. Now, this is one of the key principles of prayer. One of the key principles of prayer, what makes us anxious or afraid, we need to articulate it to our Father, to the Lord. We cannot be ambiguous, unclear, or unsure in prayer. Let us also understand that the essence of prayer is that it is listened to and answered. The essence of prayer is not just to take things to God, is not just to throw things to the Lord. No, no, no. The essence of prayer is that it is listened to and that it is answered. All right? So we have to be that clear in our understanding of prayer and while we pray. Hallelujah. Matthew 6 and 7. Matthew 6 and 7, it says, when you pray, don't talk on and on as people do who don't know God. When you pray, don't talk on and on as people do who don't know God. Don't do that. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who is teaching. We are looking at the wisdom of prayer. He is teaching us on the subject of prayer, right? When you pray, don't talk on and on as people do who don't know God. Why? They think God likes to hear long prayers. What do they think? They think that God likes to hear long prayers. Friends, God hears specific, sincere, heartfelt prayers. That's what the Lord hears. Sincere, specific, heartfelt prayers. All right? Prayers of faith. Not long, meaningless prayers that are trying to impress him. You know, sometimes when we pray, not only are we trying to impress the Lord, but we are also trying to impress our neighbor or our neighbors. We try to impress one another. That's sheer foolishness. No. We have to be, there are specifics with prayer. Prayer has got to be sincere, has got to be heartfelt, and it has got to be prayer of faith. The essence of prayer is not that we should take things to God. No, the essence of prayer is that the prayer should be listened to and answered. Now, if that truly is the essence of prayer, then you can see that prayer cannot be ambiguous. Prayer cannot be unclear. No, it must be specific. You must be specific about that which we desire, we ask of the Lord. Specifics. In the TPT, the same scripture, but I'll read also verse number 8. That's Matthew 6, 7 to 8, the TPT. Now he says, when you pray, there is no need to repeat empty phrases. When you pray, there is no need to repeat empty phrases, praying like the Gentiles do, like the pagans do, like people who don't know God do. For they expect God to hear them because of their many words. God doesn't hear prayer because of the many words, because of how creative we are with our words, with our vocabulary, because how artistic, poetic we are. No, he doesn't, church, at all. Number 8, there is no need to imitate them, since your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. He says there is no point whatsoever. God already knows, so don't try to impress him. He knows already what you need before you ask, so don't try to impress him. God is not deaf, nor challenged to understand what we say. God is not deaf, nor challenged to understand what we say. Friends, vain, vague repetition is unnecessary because God, like I said, he already knows what we need before we ask him. So there's no point of this vagueness and vanity, trying to be creative and colorful and artistic with our language. And can I say something here? There is no need that is a need that is artistic and colorful. Lack of money is lack of money. You see, that's not artistic, that's not colorful. Debt is debt. D-E-B-T, debt. Nothing is colorful about that. Nothing is artistic about that. Nothing is creative about that. You see, needs are needs. And now, this is the language that God understands. The language of saying to God exactly what is bugging me, exactly what is bothering me, exactly what is giving me stress, exactly what is depressing me, exactly what is making me unhappy. That is prayer. Exactly. Communicating, articulating in your own way. In your own way to God. We are all unique before the Lord. He made all of us unique. So we communicate, we express ourselves differently to our Father. Matthew 26 and 44, we are trying to underscore this point. Matthew 26 and 44. Remember, this is the evening when the Lord was betrayed, when he was captured, right? Now the Bible says, so he left them. He went away again and prayed the third time. He left them. He went away again and he prayed the third time. Now listen to this. Saying the same words. Saying the same words. Saying the same words. Right? Now, this is being specific, sincere, heartfelt, persistent prayer of faith. Not many words. No. The issue was grappling with his humanity at the time. The need, was, Lord, I want to give into your will, but my humanity is fighting me, is resisting me. You see, now he kept on saying the same thing over and over again because that is the need that he had at the time. For the whole 1 hour, he kept on saying the same words. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass by. Let this cup pass by. But not my will, but yours, Lord. You see that? There's nothing colorful about that. He is sweating at this point. His soul is distressed. His soul, what is it that you face? What is the problem? What is your bother? What is the thing that is aching you that you go before the Lord, that you know that, Lord, unless you come through for me, I am undone in here. You see, now that is the essence of prayer. Being serious and desperate. Desperation. 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 You see, God understands these things. He does. This is a prayer that the Lord hears, specific, sincere, heartfelt, persistent prayer of faith. One, specific. Two, sincere. Three, heartfelt. Four, persistent. Five, prayer of faith. Prayer of faith. See, God has got no favorites. God is a God of principles. This is the wisdom of prayer. It is not many words, friends, or long prayers that are intended to impress God. I say not many words or long prayers. Christians, they boast these days. They say, I've been praying for 2 hours. I've been praying for 3 hours. I've been praying for 5 hours. There are people like that. There are even churches like that. I mean, they are there. Just go to your social media. They are there to say, I pray from 6 p.m. until 6 a.m. in the morning. And the person tells you proudly that I do this every day. I do this every day, or maybe from 10 p.m. until 7 o'clock in the morning. But you see, I mean, if you look at that and you look at the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said it's not the length of time, nor the many words, but it's the sincerity. It's the sincerity, heartfelt. Is the relationship. Is the relationship. You know, some of us, we obviously, we've got loved ones. You know, when you are requesting from something from a loved one, you do know that it does not take many words to convince them to give you what you're asking for. Now, come on. You don't need to write a paragraph after paragraph after paragraph. If your child wants a bike, they will tell you that 7 days a week, 24 hours. They will repeat exactly the same words, I want a bike. And you say, there's no budget, you say, but there's no money, and they will repeat tomorrow again, they will come with the same words, I want a bike. Can you see that? Loved ones, they know the language. They keep on saying the same thing. They are not trying to impress you, all right? Because what they need is what they need. There's no point of impression. There's no point of impressing anyone. This is what we ought to know about prayer. For our prayers to be effective, and I'm going to say this for the fourth time, the essence of prayer is not that we take things to God and we are satisfied with that. The essence of prayer is that our prayer is listened to and answered. If that is not our goal for prayer, then our prayer has no goal, no purpose whatsoever. No purpose whatsoever. So why are you praying then? Why are we praying then? Friends, having said all of this, there is tarrying or watching in prayer. There is tarrying, there is waiting, watching. We're dealing with watching last Sunday. There is tarrying, there is watching. Now, when you're waiting on the Lord was not by any means saying to the disciples, can you not tarry with me for 1 hour? He was not saying that they should be shooting their mouths off. He was not saying that they should be saying things that they are trying to impress the Lord in that time. No, there is a watching, there is a waiting, there is a tarrying in prayer. All right? We saw this with Prophet Habakkuk last week. He says, I will wait. I will watch. Can you see that? There is a watching, a waiting, a tarrying in prayer. And can I say something? Sometimes you may not be saying anything. Sometimes you could be pacing up and down. Sometimes you could be sitting on a rocking chair. Sometimes you could be staring into emptiness, into sweet nothing, waiting. But your soul, your spirit, your soul, your spirit will say, but Lord, if you don't come through for me, but oh Lord, this is my need. You see that? That is waiting, tearing, watching in prayer. Your soul and your spirit are fully engaged. You could be commuting in a taxi from Johannesburg to Natal Spray to Katlehong. And people could think that we are there, but we are there physically. And someone, if they can ask you, do you remember there was so and so in the text? Ooh, I didn't say anyone. Or they could say, no, man, when the taxi, when it was stopped because someone did not pay the whole fare. So I don't remember that. No, we stopped for about 30 minutes. I don't remember it. See that? Prayer. The essence. Sometimes you could be there when you want to pray and you break out in tears and you're like, why am I crying? Why? Honestly, why? Why? You know, there are people who don't, how can I say this? They don't really cry. But they find out that sometimes they just find themselves weeping in prayer. Alone, without anyone. Alone. Can you see that? Prayer. Prayer. The language. The Bible says God even understands the groaning. The groan has a language. The groan communicates something, and only, can I tell you, only God can understand. Hannah prayed until she couldn't say anything anymore. She could not tell from the time that she was saying words to the time that she was mumbling in things that could not be understood. And the prophet says, are you drunk, woman? The prophet said, what? It's still so early, you're already drunk. The lady said, I'm not drunk, but my soul is in distress. My soul is in distress. You see, prayer. Let us not just limit ourselves to saying words. Prayer. Sometimes you can be in your office, just close that door and sit and keep quiet and be still for 5 minutes. Because you can sense that things are not right here. Things are not right here. Put the phone on flight mode. Shut that door just for 5 minutes. Just for 5 minutes. That's it. And after 5 minutes, you open. God understood the silence, the language of silence. That was a prayer of silence to Him. Praying to Him. Praying to Him. Praying even when you are sleeping. You and I, we sleep, but our souls never sleep. You and I, we sleep, the body. Continuing to pray in our sleep. Can you see that? When we've made ourselves so familiar with the discipline of prayer. This is why the Bible says pray always. How can a human being pray always? Because the soul never sleeps. Can you see that? Now, when you have become one with the essence, with the spirit of prayer, you've become one. All right? Now, you're no longer limited by the physical, because words is physical. The mouth is physical. But now, when you become one with prayer, with the spirit of prayer, then you are praying always. Even when you are saying nothing, you're praying. You could be saying one thing, but your soul is saying another in the spirit. Pray always. Prayer becoming a habit, church. We must look for opportunities, for moments, for time where we can be alone to pray. A time when we can be alone to pray. When we have the time that we are alone, let's use it to pray. And now when we have little time alone, we use it for social media. Some of us, we use it to snooze. Tell a neighbor, say there is a tearing, a watching, a waiting in prayer. And like I said, this doesn't mean that we ought to be saying many things or long prayers to fill the time. No, it's not filling the time. It's not filling the time. It's not. Because a lot of us would actually fill the time. We say, I was praying for 3 hours, but actually we're just filling the time. The real prayer was in the first 15 minutes. The rest we're just filling in the time. That's why you started praying for birds. Say, Lord, I pray for the bird that has broken its wings. Because you're trying to fill the time. We are praying for ants. Ants, good ants. Lord, have mercy on the ants that have been killed for sweet nothing. You are trying to fill in the time. No, wait. Terry. You set yourself a time and you said for 1 hour, I'm going to be praying. Don't worry, when you run out of words, tarry. Faithfulness, you said 1 hour. Tarry. 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 Don't try to fill in the time. Now you are trying to pray for the presidential race of America. You're trying to fill in the time. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Tearing or watching in prayer is waiting on the Lord with a specific need or for a specific purpose. Having a specific need. I'm tearing because of a specific need. I'm tearing for a specific purpose. Specific purpose. There are many ways we can express ourselves in prayer before God. Many ways. Some people, they're like, you know what? From the time I wake up until 10 o'clock, I'm not going to eat anything. It's not about the food. No, no, I am praying in the spirit. Someone will say, no, fine. From the time that I wake up until 12 o'clock, I'll just be taking tea. I won't be eating food. Now, that person is in prayer. Why? Because they've got a specific need. They have a specific purpose for which they are doing that for. That person is in prayer. And God understands. Remember, these things are done in secret. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ says, He says, and the Lord your God who sees in secret, this is the one who's going to bless you publicly. The thing that we do, expressions, these are physical expressions. All right, of our intentions in the spirit. Intentions in the spirit. Someone could say, I'm not going to touch my phone until 11 o'clock. And you don't tell anyone. I'm not going to touch my phone until 11 o'clock. I'm not going to watch TV until 11 o'clock. No, I'm not going to watch anything until 11 o'clock. I'm not going to talk to my friends. I'm not going to see my friends. Or whatever the case may be. I'm not going to go to the mall because some of us are always at the mall. Until at least 3 o'clock. You see that? Imagine when you get paid. Your money comes in midnight. On the 28th of the month. And you start to pray, to put yourself in an attitude of prayer from that time until 3 p.m. From that time until 3 p.m. Try it. All these unnecessary expenses. All the stress. Put yourself in an attitude of prayer. I'm not going to touch my money. It's payday today. Till 3 o'clock, until 4 o'clock. I'm not going to touch anything. I'm in an attitude of prayer. Father, lead me. Give me wisdom. I worked for 30 days for this. May you give me wisdom how to handle it. You are in an attitude of prayer. Unlike now, a lot of us, although we are Christians, money comes in today, 6 a.m. in the morning, we are in a queue at Capitec. Capitec ATM, 6 a.m. in the morning. 6 a.m. in the morning. The money just came overnight, 6 a.m. in the morning. We end up buying things that we never intended to buy. We end up doing things with our money that we never intended to do. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. 1 Peter 5 and 7, it says, casting all your cares, I love this, casting all your cares, petimusia, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. I love this. Once and for all on Him, for He cares about you. Oh my God, He cares about you with deepest affection, and He watches over you very, very carefully. He watches over me, watches over my needs. God is not careless with me. Friends, casting our cares on the Lord and not carrying them on us and not obsessing over them. Yay, we are going through a lot of things, but instead of casting these things to God in prayer, we are carrying them on us and we are obsessing over them. And as a result, some of us are even losing weight. Why are you losing weight? Because you're obsessing over something. You do not recall the wisdom of prayer. Why God gave us the gift, the grace gift of prayer, is so that you would not have to carry the things on you. Oh, my house, the renovations of my house, the money does not come. Oh, I've got a stand I need to buy, the money's not coming. Oh, I've got a car to fix, the money's not coming. Oh, I've got a business. I know I need to do 1, 2, 3, and 4, and my business is going to take off, and it's not happening. As a result, we are obsessing over this, we are stressing over this, now we are depressed, we are losing weight, now we are sickly. Are we being wise? We are being very foolish. He never called us to carry on our problems. He never called on us to carry on our needs. He never did. To obsess over them, to stress over them, to be unhappy over them, to even get sickly in the process. No friends. But he's called us to take everything to him in prayer. I say he's called us to take everything to him in prayer, casting it on him, placing whatever we are going through on the Lord. And when we do this, whatever is ours becomes his. Our bother becomes his bother. Our stress becomes his stress. Our issues become his issues. The wisdom of prayer. Prayer is an exchange. A place where we exchange our needs, our wants, our cares, our concerns, our fears, our worries. Prayer is an exchange. It is a place where we exchange. Right? Our needs. We have needs, unmet needs. We've got our wants, our cares, concerns, fears, worries. We are Christians, yes. Do we have these things? Yes. Why? Because we live in a planet called Earth. A place where we exchange these for God's peace, for God's provision, and for God's blessings. Prayer is a place of great exchange. A place of great exchange. Where we exchange our needs, our wants, our worries, our cares, our concerns, our fears for God's peace, God's provision, God's blessings. That's why it says, cast them on him, exchanging. Take it from me, offloading it off of me, over to the Lord. Our problems in the sense, our problems, exchanging our problems for his solution, exchanging our bondage for his freedom. Exchanging, right? Our depression for his mental freedom and peace. God says, don't carry the depression, bring it to me. God says, don't carry the stress, bring it to me. Don't carry the bother, bring it to me. Don't carry the issue, bring it to me. This is what God is saying. This is the wisdom. Prayer is a grace gift that God has given unto us that we may be able to live healthy, godly lives. Healthy, godly lives to know what we do with the challenges, with the problems, with the needs, with the worries, with the issues that we have, to know what to do with them, to know what to do with them, and not trying to be clever to become our own problem solvers. And I think it won't take a lot, many of us, to realize that the time that we have tried to resolve things for ourselves, we've actually made them very worse. Things have moved from bad to worse. When we tried to become our own problem solvers, it has just moved from bad to worse. And guess what? It keeps getting worse. It keeps getting worse until we take it to the Lord in prayer. Taking our issues to the Lord in prayer does the following. Number one, taking our issues to the Lord in prayer does the following. Number one, it displaces the weight of them from us to him. It displaces the weight of our problems, of our issues, off of us to the Lord. And number two, it places the responsibility of them squarely on his shoulders. We are not able to carry, but he is more than able. I say we are not able to carry, but he is more than able. Our need becomes his solution. Our problem becomes his opportunity. God, it's an opportunity for God to manifest his love, his care, his provision towards us through the needs and the problems that we have. Friends, this is an act of faith demonstrating our dependency on the Lord. When we cast our cares over to the Lord, it is an act of faith. It is an act of faith demonstrating our dependence on him. Trusting the Lord with every detail and issue of our lives. Imagine, and this is the will of God, imagine a situation where you trust God with every detail of your life. Every detail. You trust God with every detail. Imagine, and that's the will of God, that's what he wants, and that's what we are failing with aplomb. God with every detail of my life, with every issue. It does not matter what the issue is, every issue I'm trusting God. Hey, the wisdom of prayer, trusting God. Such was the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:23. Such was the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, trusting God with everything. Father, I trust you. Father, I trust you. Bangivalela amanzi, but I trust you. Bangivalela ugesi, but I trust you. Bafuna ukungithathela imoto, but I trust you. Bafuna ukuxosha umntwana esikolweni, but I trust you. Bafuna ukungithathela umuntu wami, but I 1 Peter 2:23, friends. Now the Bible says when he was the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was verbally abused, he did not return with an insult. When he suffered, he would not threaten retaliation. Jesus faithfully, please underline this, Jesus faithfully entrusted himself, Pastor Fancy. Jesus faithfully entrusted himself into the hands of God who judges righteously. He faithfully entrusted himself. Jesus trusted God with every detail and issue of his life. Now this is the why. If someone trusts God, if someone has entrusted themselves into the hands of the Lord like this, you cannot kill them unless by God's permission. That's why they couldn't kill him. He had entrusted. He became God's responsibility. Everything about him became God's responsibility. But he did that. See that? Trusting the Lord. The Lord Jesus, he never retaliated. He never avenged himself. He never fought for himself. We are talking about prayer. Trusting God fully, that's prayer. Not retaliating, not avenging yourself, not fighting back, keeping quiet. Taking the issue to God in prayer. I say taking the issue to God in prayer. Taking the issue to God in prayer. The wisdom of prayer. Don't fight for yourself. Don't answer for yourself. Don't avenge yourself. Don't say anything. Don't do anything for yourself. The wisdom of prayer. Take the matter. Be specific about it to God in prayer and leave it to God. Now, the Bible says God judges righteously. Never had to do any of these things, retaliating, avenging himself, fighting for himself. He never had to do any of this because he actively, deliberately, purposefully entrusted himself to God. Say, Lord, this is what they do to me. This is what they do to me. I'm not going to fight them. This is what they do to me. There's one place that I know very well. I don't know many places. There's one place I know, that place is called the place of prayer. Say, Lord, I've come to entrust myself to you. I don't know how to compute the situation. I don't know how to interpret. I don't know how to take the situation. But Lord, I commit myself to you. I commit my issues to you. I commit what I'm passing through to you. Lord, I'm not going to fight anyone. I'm not going to answer anyone. I'm not going to do anything, but I'm going to wait on you. The wisdom of prayer. Such was the life of Jesus. When we don't know what to do, I'll tell you today what to do. When you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Don't do anything. When you're not sure about what to do, when you're not sure, don't do anything. Go and tarry. You're not sure, so don't do it. Because it's going to move from bad to worse. Even if there was nothing wrong, but because you did, because you said, because you made a move. See, even if there was nothing wrong, but because you made a move. Instead of waiting on the Lord, tarrying, waiting, watching to see what he would say to me. That's what the prophet, how the prophet puts it, says to see what he will say to me. Don't do it. Wisdom. Let's employ wisdom. I say, let's employ wisdom. Friends, this is prayer when we ourselves actively, deliberately, purposefully entrust ourselves to the Lord. Now, this is prayer. Prayer is never casual. Prayer is never touch and go. Prayer is about fully entrusting, fully giving, fully surrendering. I'm fully surrendered to the Lord. We are truly praying, friends. When we believe, we anticipate, we expect God to act on our behalf. If we are not believing, anticipating, expecting the Lord to act on our behalf, we haven't begun praying. I say we haven't begun praying. No, no. Praying is when we believe, we anticipate, and we expect. This is why if we live like this, our lives of prayer like this, we can go to God and say, Lord, but I prayed about this thing. When will you answer me? I mean, come on, when you read the Bible, it was like that. People like David, they would go to God and say, Lord, when will you answer? When will you answer? Why? Because David had taken this matter many times over to the Lord. Now he goes to remind him. You see, when we really believe, we expect and we anticipate, we will go to God and remind him. Say, but Father, when will you? When will you do it? Now that is prayer. That is prayer. Father, when are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? Because I've believed you, I've trusted you, I have waited in anticipation, in expectation. Now I go to my dad. When are you going to do it, O Lord? When are you going to do it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Transferring everything to him in prayer. Transferring everything to him in prayer. Transferring, giving it over to him. Giving it over to God in prayer. Let us look at Matthew. I think this is the part where we are closing. Matthew 6 and 25. Now the Lord says, this is why I tell you to never be worried about your life. Don't be worried. How many times have we been told today not to be worried? Don't be worried about your life, for all that you need will be provided. Please underline that part if there's anything you're going to underline today. For all that you need will be provided, but it will be provided when you don't worry about it. It says, all that you need will be provided. But how and when will it be provided? When we don't worry about it, but we take it to the Lord in prayer. This is why I tell you not to never worry, be worried about your life, for all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything that your body needs. Friends, the Bible says that the Lord, He clothes the grass, He feeds the birds. The Bible says, this was taught by the Lord in this chapter of Matthew, chapter number 6. He clothes the grass, He feeds the birds. Will He not much more do for us? Will God not much more do for us? Will He not do much more for us? Will He not do much more for us? Are we not much more valuable to God than nature? This prayer teaching of the Lord in Matthew 6 is very deep. And I know why the devil, he makes it look to people as though it's elementary. It's very deep. The devil would want nothing but that we should stress our heads off over issues, over our needs, over things that we go through. And yet the Lord says the key is not to worry. The key is not to be anxious. The key is not to bother. Because if you worry, then God, the provision cannot come. Do you see that? The provision, are we not much more valuable to the Lord than nature? In the Amplified 25 and 26, in the Amplified 25 and 26, Matthew 6, right? Therefore, I tell you, stop being worried or anxious. Stop being worried. Stop being anxious. Perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow seed nor reap the harvest nor gather the crops into barns, and yet your heavenly Father, He keeps feeding them. Are you, underline, are you not worth much more than they? Are you not? Saying, if God, this is what He does for nature, we are much more valuable to God than nature. God never died for nature, He died for you. Will He not then much more do for you? Then we will see where the rubber hits the road. We are obviously are worth far much more to God than nature. We know this from the scripture. Therefore, the Lord, He will not only do more for us. The Lord will not only do more for us, but He will do far much more than just feed and clothe us. He will do far much more than just feed and clothe us. God knows that you like money. We love money. God knows what money can do. So He will do much more than just feed and clothe us. He will give us nice things. The Lord knows we love to travel. We love to go to countries that we have never been before. This is what the Lord wants to do. But the Lord is saying, the Lord Jesus Christ is asking this pertinent question, will God not do much more for you, seeing that we are much more valuable than the birds and the grass and the nature? He wants to do far much more. He knows how much we're living in the concrete jungle called Johannesburg. God knows how much we love the sea. It is His will that we go to the sea, we go to the coast, to the coastal regions as much as we want. It's what He wants for us as well. You see, He will do far much more than just clothe and feed us. But there is a situation. He tells us in Matthew 30, chapter 6, 30 and 31, there's a situation that we need to look at, we need to deal with. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? Now, here's the situation, O you of little faith. You know, when you read this verse 30 over and over again, I don't know how to explain what you will feel. I don't know how to explain what you will feel. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? The grass, the birds, they never stress. They never get anxious. They never get worried. This is why he says, please don't worry. And this is how God easily take care of the birds, take care of nature. Nature never worry over their own needs. Nature never does. Nature is always, if you go to the scriptures, go to Psalms, nature is, it says, young lions, they look unto God to give them food. And they don't die, by the way. God, he gives them food day by day. He gives food to nature, and food, nature looks unto him. But now the looking of nature is not the looking of worry, it's the looking of expectation. This is what he's trying to tell us. And now he says, are you not worth much more? Are you not more valuable? So why are you worried? Why are you worried? Oh, you of little faith. Friends, the Lord can do far much more for us, and he wants to do far much more for us. But the question is this, do we really believe him? Do we really believe this? Please try to answer this at home at your leisure. Now you may not be able to understand what I'm trying to say. The question is, do you really believe that this is what God does for nature, and you and I are much more valuable than nature? Do we really believe this? Do we really believe him? For the majority of us, we know that we don't really believe this. How do we know this? Because we still worry. We still don't believe this. That's what I'm saying, that to a lot of Christians, this is elementary. All right? But the very same Christians, they still worry. Still worry about their bond, still worry about their payments, still worry about this, still worry about that. Right? Still worry. We still pray and worry. We still pray. You know how anti-scripture that is? Casting all your cares, not to be worried. But we still pray and worry. Why do we pray and worry? We are playing prayer. We don't know the wisdom of prayer. We still pray and worry. This is why then immediately in verse number 31, immediately in verse number 31, and do remember that the Bible was not written with verses and chapters. Now, this is the same thought. Number 31, therefore do not worry. 31, don't worry. 31, do not worry. 31, whatever it is, don't be worried. 31, don't be anxious. Do not worry. 31, don't worry. Why is this so emphatic? On the not worry part. Go to the epistles. Emphasis, not worry. Go to the gospels. Emphasis, don't worry. Therefore, don't worry or be anxious. Why, friends? Because worry is a sign of unbelief and doubt. Sign of unbelief. Do you remember what Brother James says about doubt? Do you remember? Brother James says, a doubting man is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now, here's the part that the rubber meets with the road. Let not that Christian, let not that believer suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now you see why the emphasis, don't worry. Because what is a sign of doubt? It's doubt manifesting. It's doubt manifesting. And let not that man, a doubting man, suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because James says, through the Holy Spirit, because that man is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Right? This is how a doubting person looks in the spirit. A doubting person in the spirit. Remember, spirit is more real. The real reality is the spiritual reality. The physical reality is a secondary. It is the spawn of the spirit realm. A doubting person in the spirit is double-minded and unstable in all their ways. It does not matter how many times they pray and they fast, they will not receive anything from God. This is spiritual. It does not matter how they punish themselves by fasting. As long as the doubt is still there, this is a principle. They cannot receive anything. Because this is how they look in the spirit. There is a look in the spirit. The true reality is in the spirit. Doubt is a sign of unbelief in God's ability to do for us what we desire of Him. Unbelief in His ability, all right? In His ability, rather, to do for us what we ask for, what we ask from the Lord. We take our need to God in prayer and still worry or stress about it, and that is doubt. We're doubting. When we take our need to God and still stress about it and still be anxious, be afraid. Have you been to the place when you're afraid? There's anxiety within you. You're afraid because you don't know what is going to happen. You're afraid if they're going to kick the child out of school or not. You're afraid if they will come and repossess this or that or not. You're afraid if they will come and close this or that or not. And that's anxiety. And it is tormenting. It is seriously tormenting. Torment is a spirit. Satan torments the mind. Worried and anxious and afraid. It's tormenting, church. It's tormenting. Have you been in a situation where you are anxious that maybe a situation has unfolded that you might lose your job? Or maybe they are cutting down staff at your workplace and you're anxious if you will be next or not. Oh, how beautiful it is to wait on God to hear His word in instances like those. There are people in this ministry where their companies were facing what is the word for it? Retrenchments. And then when I was preaching, by the grace of God, the Lord says, tell this one, you're not going to lose your job. Tell that one. And they never lost their job. But this job, they retrenched 2,000 people at once. 2,000. And the Lord said that before it happened, God says, tell her she will not lose her job. In fact, God says, tell her she will go up the ladder. And it has since taken place. 2,000 people. She never lost her job. And she was one of the departments that were seriously targeted to go. But now without the word from the Lord, without faith in God, you'll be anxious. You'll really be anxious. You'll be tormented. This is the part where the Lord says, by worrying, what can you change? Can you really change anything by worrying? Of course not. But you see, the devil knows that, but his point is that he torments. That he torments. Oh, hallelujah. God, He answers faith and not doubt. He is a rewarder of those that believe, not those that doubt. Doubt is serious, church. Doubt causes our prayers not to be answered. It is doubt. It is doubt. When you say, but I've prayed, but I've fasted, but I've done this, I've done that, but why is my prayer not answered? Look at doubt. The culprit could be doubt. Doubt is a spiritual principle that works contrary to our faith. Doubt is a principle. Now, here's the thing about a principle. There's nothing you can do about a principle. No one can change a principle, more so a spiritual one. Can't change it. It remains there. Doubt is a spiritual principle that works contrary to our faith. This is the reason why we are told not to worry, because it's that detrimental. It's dangerous. Doubt is dangerous. It does not bring anything. You bring someone here and say, pray for this person. The first thing that will come is doubt. Not even unbelief. No, doubt. God can use any believer. God can work through any believer. But you see, when doubt comes in, nothing happens. When doubt comes in, nothing happens. Are we there, friends? After prayer, this is the question as I'm closing right now. After prayer, are you still worried? Are you still anxious? Are you still afraid? Are you still stressed, depressed, unsure? Answer the question to yourself. Because that could be the key that unlocks why prayers are not answered. Why are my prayers not answered?